The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into the boat there and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things, saying in parables. Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Later he said to his disciples, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. That is what is sown on the path. As for what is sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a little while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord. I realize that preaching isn't for everybody. Some people would rather die than be up in front of a crowd and talking to people that they didn't know, and maybe even people that they do know. Just the idea of being in the spotlight is absolutely terrifying. And it's from folks like these that I often get the question, do you get nervous before you preach? Well, I had a professor in seminary that used to say that if you didn't still get butterflies in your stomach every time you get up to preach a sermon, that you ought to get out. And so admittedly, I do get some butterflies, but they're not really nervous butterflies. It's more being excited because I absolutely love this. It is one of the things that I love best in this world. I mean, I love the spotlight. What can I say? And I love God's Word. And when you put the two of them together, what could be better, right? I mean, I love the spotlight so much, I was even in a play a few months ago just so that I could be on stage. It's wonderful. I love being able to give a message to people and have them hear it. And so, no, I don't get nervous before I preach. Well, I used to not get nervous before I preach. I got to say that ever since this pandemic thing happened and we started doing live streaming, I do get nervous pretty much every Sunday because now it's different. You know, when it all started, people were saying, well, is it going to be strange for you to preach to an empty congregation? Well, for some folks, it has been. In fact, some of my colleagues have put stuffed animals in the pews or actually posted pictures of their members on the back of the pews, you know, the ones that they always sit in. For me, that hasn't been much of a problem. I just look at the camera and pretend that I'm speaking to all of you. But that's just it. I'm speaking to all of you. They don't call it the World Wide Web for nothing, you know? Used to be when I'm preaching, I was only preaching to the people that were in the room, the people that were in the congregation, in the pews listening. Maybe some folks will tune into a sermon. But now the entire worship service is broadcast for all the world to see. Everybody. Now, granted, everybody in the world isn't watching my sermons every Sunday morning. But they could be. I mean, who knows? I could trip, fall on my face, and the next thing you know, I end up as a meme that everybody's throwing up on Facebook or texting each other. I could say the wrong thing, and it could go viral. I mean, do you realize what kind of pressure that is? Realizing that every word that I speak when I stand up here could be heard by virtually anyone throughout the world. So I want to make sure that what I say is just right and it's done well. Because if I say the wrong thing, something that's misunderstood, there's no opportunities for people to ask questions later or on the way out of church. It's just out there, right? I mean, I could say something horribly offensive and totally by accident. People can take you the wrong way. Because the thing is, once your message is out there, it's not your message anymore. People can take it however they take it. And that, my friends, is absolutely horrifying. Of course, some of us have learned this the hard way, haven't we? Maybe we've sent out an email or a text message. Maybe you posted something on Facebook or tweeted out something on Twitter that wasn't taken the way that you intended it to be. You know, maybe you put something out that was a joke and nobody else thought it was funny. Or maybe you were posting something very meaningful and people thought it was a joke. Maybe you just were expressing your opinion, but others don't like the opinion that you expressed. Or maybe you didn't mean it exactly the way it sounded, or the way that others took it. But like I said, once your message is out there, it's not yours anymore, is it? I mean, anybody who wants to know what it's like to be misunderstood, all you gotta do is have kids, right? You say, hey, clean your room, and somehow that message becomes sit around and play video games for the next 3 hours, right? Look, when we communicate, people don't always hear it the way we intended it. Some people don't hear us at all. Sometimes they don't pay attention to exactly what it is that we're saying. I mean, they say beauty is in the eye of the beholder. But the message and the meaning are in the ear of the hearer. I think that might be what Jesus was getting at when he told the parable of the sower. The parable that we heard in today's gospel reading. Jesus was out teaching, and there were so many crowds, and he was out on a boat, and he was telling the people that were on the shore this story. He said, a sower went out to sow. And when he did, he was throwing out seed, and as he cast seed, some of it went on the path. And when it did, the birds quickly came and ate it up. Some of it went on rocky ground, and because there was nowhere for the roots to go, it sprang up quickly, but when the sun came out, it was scorched and died. Then there was some seed that was thrown among the thorny ground. And so as it grew up, the thorns took over and choked it out. But then some of the seed was planted on good soil. And it produced crops. 160, 400-fold. Now, this is a bit of a strange parable because, well, first of all, anybody who's a farmer knows that you don't just throw seed willy-nilly, do you? I mean, this sower's half crazy because you just, oh, well, let's throw some seed over here and throw some seed over there and, oh, wow, here's some rocks, let's put it on that. And so maybe this was a bit confusing, not only to us, but also to Jesus' disciples. And so, unlike most parables, this one, Jesus actually sat down and explained it to them. He told, and this is where our gospel picks up later, he says, the seed that was on the path, well, that's people who hear the word and don't understand it, and so the devil comes and snatches them up. Those that are on the rocky ground, those are people that hear the word and immediately get really excited about it, but because they have no root, it doesn't last. And when the troubles of this world flare up, their faith isn't sustainable. And then there's the thorny ground. Well, that's people that are more consumed by the cares of the world, by all the stuff, by power, by greed, by politics, by whatever it is out there. They get so consumed by that that it chokes out the word in their life. But then, there are those who hear the word, receive it, and understand it, and they bear fruit. Sometimes 30, sometimes 60, sometimes 100-fold. And so the question I think that we have to ask ourselves in this is, what kind of soil are you? Are you the path where your lack of understanding, it never takes root? Or are you the rocky ground and you hear about God and the wonderful things and you get so excited, but as soon as trouble hits, you're done? Maybe you're the thorny ground where the cares of the world are so much more meaningful to you than the Word of God. Maybe you're the good soul where the Word of God has become implanted in your heart and you share your gifts to show God's love. So which one are you? Honestly, I think at times we're all four, you know? I think sometimes our faith is deep and rich and meaningful, and sometimes we're more distracted by the world, and sometimes we get so afraid of what life is throwing at us that it just doesn't take hold, and sometimes, well, we just don't care or understand. So, I guess maybe the question isn't, what kind of soil are you? Maybe the question we should be asking is, what kind of soil do you want to be? Well, hopefully if you're listening to this message today, you want to be good soil. I mean, that seems most logical, doesn't it? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you want the Word of God to mean something to you, don't you? Of course. I mean, that's why you're here. That's why you're tuning in wherever you are. So how do we do that? How can we get those times of being the path or the rocky soil or the thorny soil out of our lives? Well, my friends, I think that begins by listening and learning. You know, we have to listen to God's Word. And this is a start. By just showing up and worshiping, listening to our Word for Wednesdays on Wednesdays. You know, hearing God's Word proclaimed, reading Scripture, is important. But it's not enough. Because you see, if all we do is hear it, then where will the growth happen? How will we ever develop those roots that Jesus is talking about? So when the tough times come, when the bad things happen in our lives, if all we've done is listened and heard, and walked away as if nothing made a difference, as if these words are just words, it's not going to sustain us. It's not going to give us strength and help in times of trouble. We have to listen and we have to learn. That means we've got to open up our Bibles and we've got to read it. But not just like a regular book. We need to study it. I mean, now granted, this isn't the easiest book to understand. But you're not in this alone. I mean, we offer several Bible studies here, even during COVID-19. And more and more people have been able to participate. We've got Vacation Bible School starting this week. I invite you all to participate in that. There's something for everybody. For our young children, for our youth, for our adults. Take part so that the roots of your faith can grow and they can grab hold. But learning also helps us as the cares of this world seem so much more important. Because let's be honest, we are inundated with all kinds of different messages coming at us this way and that way and this way and that way, don't we? So which one is right? How do we know what to believe? How do we know what is right? if we haven't stopped to learn what's right. You see, my friends, our faith is in the Word. The Word made flesh that lived among us. And that Word is proclaimed in the words of Scripture. And therefore, we need to understand and know what those words are.
We've got to take time and read it.
It's not just some book that's up on your shelf. It is the Word of God. Martin Luther used to say that the Bible was the creche that holds the Christ child. It's important to know and understand the Word. That's how we become the good soil. Many years ago, when I was in my first church, I decided that I was going to make a New Year's resolution. Now, I know, some people think those things are silly, and honestly, I've never really come through on a New Year's resolution except this one. And the reason why is because I invited the congregation to join me. Because what I set out to do was read the entire Bible in a year. It was kind of embarrassing for me. I was a new pastor and I had never read the whole Bible. So I thought, that'd probably be a good idea. And in the course of that year, as I invited others to join me, I was changed. But not just me, the entire congregation was changed. Because that's what the Word of God does. When we make ourselves into the good soil, when God provides the nourishment, that's when the fruit of our faith begins to blossom and grow. That's when we truly make a difference in this world. And it's a world that so desperately needs that Word, so desperately needs the fruit that you and I bear because of that Word. We need some good news right now, and we need to be the ones that carry it out among our neighbors, among our friends, among our society. We've got good news that people are loved, people are forgiven, people are saved, because we have a God that loves us no matter what. That's the good news. That's the Word that comes into our heart. And when that Word is implanted in us, then we are able to share our gifts to show God's love. We're able to be the people that God has created and called us to be. That's what it's all about, my friends. Can you imagine how much our life would change if we allowed the Word of God to become implanted in us? Can you imagine how much that would change our church, our community, our world? Wouldn't it be fun to find out? Amen.